we became Christians, we were asked a question. And the question was, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And if we answered it in the affirmative, which all did if they truly were convicted and if they truly obeyed the gospel and they were truly baptized for the remission of their sins, that affirmative answer is more than just about the existence of Jesus. It's more than just that He was deity. But it entailed everything about Him, everything that He taught, and everything that would be taught, because it comes forth from Him, because He is presented to us as the Word in John the first chapter and verse 1. And what we did when we made that good confession and saying, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we followed His command that He gives at two times, and we're going to be seeing that here in John the 21st chapter, verse 15 through 22. We said, Lord, we're going to follow You. That's what we did with our confession. We look at this account here in John 21st chapter. And as far as the record is concerned, this is the first time that Jesus speaks to Peter directly, and Peter directly answers Him after the denial that was made by Peter as he was sitting before the Sanhedrin. And we see that in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 54 through 62. It's a very poignant account that we have there, because at the end of that third denial that Peter made concerning Jesus, after he had said, I will never deny you, I will die before I deny you, as he makes that third denial, the eyes of Jesus and Peter meet. Jesus turns and looks at him. And everything that he had said, all of the positive things that came forth from his mouth, at least positive as it sounded to him, Jesus had pointed out to him, not everything you say is positive. In Matthew the 16th chapter, after Peter had confessed him as the Son of God, and Jesus then begins to tell of his demise that would take place in Jerusalem, he said, it will not happen to you. And Jesus says to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for you savor us not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. And then later on, we understand, of course, that Peter had said those same things again after Jesus once again tells him, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'll be raised again the third day. And Peter says, that's not going to happen to you. And that's whenever Jesus tells him, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And that's what took place. Jesus went to the cross. He died. But He rose again. But no interaction that we have directly, as far as personal interaction that Jesus has with Peter, until this account that we have here in John the 21st chapter, beginning in verse 15. And I want us to notice, as Darrell said, the statements that are made in this particular account, because again they are so poignant. And it's not about dragging Peter down. He did many good things. He made the good confession, as we mentioned in Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 18. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven, was Jesus' reply to him. John the 6th chapter and verse 67, Jesus had asked, are you too going away, talking to his disciples? And it's Peter that speaks up and he says, where shall we go, Lord? For thou hast the words of eternal life. We know that you art the Christ, the Son of God. He made good confessions. But the statement that the three times, the statement that he made in denial of Jesus did not follow with what Jesus is going to be telling him here. And he needs to realize it. As a matter of fact, when we look back in Luke the 22nd chapter, Jesus told him, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I'm going to pray for you that you will be able to stand. And when you are converted, he says, well, then I want you to teach my people. And now Peter hears from Jesus directly. After the three denials, as we begin here in John the 21st chapter and verse 15. First of all, in verse 15, he addresses Peter not as Peter, but as Simon. And the word Simon means hear. Listen. And I think it's very appropriate that Jesus doesn't call him Peter here. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave him the name Peter in John the first chapter in verse 24. You shall be called Peter. And that word Peter means rock or stone. It's Greek. Paul uses the Aramaic word always for Peter, which is Cephas, which means exactly the same thing. But Jesus never addressed Peter as Peter except on two occasions. One, of course, as we've already mentioned, whenever he confessed Jesus in Matthew the 16th chapter. Then later on in Luke the 22nd chapter when he said, I will not allow you to die. And he says, I say unto thee, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And now we come here to this first address, direct address that Jesus has with Peter after he denies him three times. And he doesn't call him Peter. But he calls him Simon. And there's a reason I believe that he didn't call him Peter, and we're going to be seeing it as we go through, because Peter at this point in time didn't recognize, after he went out and wept bitterly in denying Jesus Christ, he wasn't the rock man that he thought that he was. He showed that there was inconsistency in his life. And so Jesus here in verse 15 addresses him as Simon. And I think very purposely so, because he's saying, hear and listen. Listen carefully to what I have to say. And so the first thing that he says here to Simon in verse 15, he says, do you love me? Do you love me? And that word love is from the Greek word agapeo, or agape, which is the root word. And what that word means is that higher form of love that had been presented by Jesus Christ and not presented at any other time other than by the teaching of Christ Jesus. It is that higher form of love that Jesus talks about of what he was going to show us. And that is, a true friend will lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And when we look over in other passages of Scripture, we understand that this is really the teaching of the new covenant that Jesus is giving, where he uses that word love. And he uses it there, first of all, by saying, do you love me? But then he also says, do you love me more than these? And I think that he mentions that. I've read commentators before that Jesus, they say, as they are sitting around, Jesus is pointing to the boats. Do you love me more than your boats that you have for business? Do you love me more than the rest of the disciples that are here? Do you love me more than your physical merchandise that you have here upon this earth? That makes no sense. But I believe it's about the disciples, and I believe really it's about all men. You remember that in one account that we have back in Matthew, that Jesus and the disciples were going toward Judea, and they passed the toll booth, the tax booth, and Peter is asked by the attendant of the toll at the toll booth, does not your master pay taxes? And he says, yea, he does. Yes, certainly he certainly does do that. And then he goes and he sees Jesus, and Jesus confronts him in connection with this, and he says, Simon, of who do the kings and magistrates take taxes from? From the people or from the children? And he said, well, from the children. And he says, nevertheless, we're going to pay taxes. You go out, you catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth will be the tax that is required, not only for me, but also for you. And Peter began to show right there, I think, his concern about what other people thought of him and about him wanting to please men. And Jesus, of course, was going to keep the law. He was going to do it because it was the temple tax in particular that was being collected at the time. But Jesus began to show him at that point in time that I'm the most important. We're going to do what the people ask, but not because we're forced to, but because it is the law, and we're going to keep the law. But Peter's concerned about others. He's concerned about others. And we'll see that later on, of course, in his life. And we've been studying about it. He's concerned about others. He's concerned about the Jews and wherever he went to teach Cornelius. And he makes the statement there in the 11th chapter, "Who was I to withstand the Lord that I would go and be with the Gentiles and teach the gospel to them?" And so he's removing himself from that situation. And we see it again wherever he's in Antioch, Syria, and the Gentiles come in, and rather the Jews come in as he's eating with the Gentiles and removes himself from that. Peter was concerned about other people. And so I think Jesus here is asking this question from the standpoint, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than people? Do you have that higher love for me? Do you have that which I gave to you, the new commandment? This is the new commandment, John 15, chapter verse 13, that you love one another. Do you have that higher love, that love that gives up self, the love that is from the heart? Do you have, Peter, do you have Simon? Listen here. Do you have, Simon, that love for me? And then Jesus says, feed my lambs. And that word feed there, in what Jesus is saying, is from the Greek word bosko. And that word means to provide pasture or fodder. And that's all that it means. It doesn't take into every account what the shepherd did. It only took into account the one thing that a shepherd did, and that was to feed or to provide pasture or fodder for the flock. Jesus gives him that admonition, that command. Feed, he says, feed then my lambs. And that word is erinon in the Greek. And it is a diminutive, which really relates back to a tiny, precious little lamb, which would, I believe, indicate that Jesus is saying, you provide fodder and pasture for my new converts. You do that. Well, Peter replies to him here in verse 16. And he says, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And that word know there is from the Greek word eido. And what Peter is saying, because he couldn't deny it, he had seen it so many times, that word eido or eido means absolute, true, perfect knowledge of a thing. No guesswork involved. And that which has been demonstrated. And he saw that in the life of Christ Jesus. You know all things. When you asked me the question, you knew the answer to it. You know everything. And Lord, you know that I love you. But he doesn't answer with agapeo. He answers with phileo. Lord, he says, I'm very affectionate of you. I think very highly of you. And Lord, you know that. Peter is really convicted by the answer that he gives. Lord, you know, and that was already a conviction. He had seen it in Jesus' life when Jesus knew the thoughts of those that were round about him, but without them saying a word. And what Peter had done, as we mentioned back in Matthew, whenever the taxes were taken, he knew what had taken place, even though he was not standing beside Peter. He made confession of Christ Jesus in that, you know everything. But then he says, Lord, I'm highly affectionate of you. I'm highly affectionate of you. I believe at this point, Peter remembers what he did on that occasion when he denied the Lord three times. And he couldn't claim, because he did that, he couldn't claim that higher love. The best that he could claim was this affectionate love that is not from the heart, as is agapeo, but rather from the head. It's that affectionate love. And so he doesn't claim the higher love. I'm not going to say that, Peter says. I'd prove that that wasn't the case when I denied you. You know, Lord, all things. And you know that I love you, as he says there in verse 15. And of course, Jesus replies, feed my sheep. Bosco. Bosco, feed my sheep. In verse 16, Jesus asked him again. And he asked him the same thing. First of all, Simon, hear and listen. Listen to what I'm about to say. You didn't get it the first time because I asked you, did you agapeo me? Did you love me, that higher form of love? Listen again now, Simon. Do you love me? Now he drops off. He drops off the point that he had made more than these here in verse 16. Now it gets very personal. Because the focus that Jesus is making in this question is, do you love me? Doesn't ask about anyone else, but ask about himself. Do you love me? And in verse 16, then, Peter replies. And he says there, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And that's exactly the same thing that he had said before. You know all things. Before you ever ask the question, you know that I love you. But he says there, again, phileo. I have that affection for you. I deeply care for you. You are a great friend. But he will not make the statement of conviction of agapeo. I cannot say that I love you to that high extent because of what I did. I can't do it. There in verse 16, Jesus replies to him and he says unto him, feed. But now he doesn't use the word bosco as he did before, but now he uses the word poimen. And that word means every aspect of the shepherd, everything that a shepherd was to do, not only providing pasture and fodder, but also providing for the flock and every sheep of the flock that protection, that guidance, that direction. And Jesus tells him, feed, and now uses a different word when he says sheep, but still a diminutive. And from the standpoint of great affection, he says, feed my sheep, and that word means my precious little ones. That would refer not only to those that were new converts, but to all that were of the flock, of the household of God. And he gives him that command. We come to verse 17. And in verse 17, Jesus starts as he did before, almost. He says in verse 17, Simon, listen closely. Hear what I'm about to say. He calls him that again. And he says, Simon, lovest thou me? Once again, he leaves out more than these. But now, Jesus uses the word phileo in this verse, rather than the word agapeo. It's the same word that Peter had been using at this point. Jesus is saying, do you really have great affection for me? Am I really a friend to you? Are you highly affectionate of me? Is that really the case? And Jesus is saying to him, you listen to this, Simon, hear. Do you phileo me? Do you have that affection for me? And then we see that Peter was grieved because this is the third time that Jesus asked him these questions, even though they're phrased a little bit differently. And all of it is having a great impact upon Peter at this time because of the wording and the phrases that are used. He can't claim that higher love. He can't do it. I have a great affection for you. Now Jesus asks, do you really have that great affection for me? And so then he says, that is, Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And again, he uses the word phileo. You know, eido. You know absolutely, without a doubt, everything that is true. You know that I love you, phileo, that I really do have that great affection for you. And you know that, he says a second time here, he says, and the Lord said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love you. Now, he uses a different word for know. He uses the word gnosko. And that means come to know, grow into a knowledge, into the fact of the matter. And what Peter is telling Jesus, Lord, you know that I have a great affection for you. And then what Peter says then to Jesus is, and you're going to see it. You'll come to know it. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove that I have that great affection for you, as I've already claimed now three times. And then Jesus goes back and uses that word bosko once again, which we can relate from a spiritual standpoint of teaching God's word to the sheep. And now again, it is not just the new converts, but the whole flock of God, the whole fold. And Jesus gives that command. My precious little ones, that's the way that I view them. You are going to be entrusted with them as all my apostles are. You're going to be entrusted with their learning, with their understanding of my word. You're going to be entrusted with that. Feed my precious little ones. And then in verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you gird yourself and walk where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And in verse 18, Jesus is explaining to him just how much he was going to show not only the affection that Peter would have for Jesus as a friend, because he was going to lay down his life as for his friend Jesus, but also he was going to show at that time the agapeo love. Peter would show that also. And he's telling him here, as it says in the text, this is Jesus telling him, as it says, signifying verse 19, by what death he should glorify God. And then he spoke this, when he had spoken this, he said to him, and here's the real point to what Jesus has been trying to tell Peter. Now for the first time that they talk after Peter denied Jesus, follow me, Peter. Follow me, Peter. I don't want just lip service. You gave me that. And the lip service didn't work out. You made great statements as the rock man. And you proved that you weren't the rock that you and everyone thought that you were. And you cannot even come to use the word agapeo, that greater love that I gave you commandment of in John the 15th chapter and other places also. You can't do that. The best that you can muster is to say that you're highly affectionate of me. And yes, I believe that, and you're going to show it. But you're going to show that greater love also. You're going to do that. Now, I want you to go, and I want you to pomain all of my precious little ones and provide the Word of God to them, the bosko, the fodder. Provide that for them. When we come down then to verse 20, after all of this, Jesus pointing out very clearly just by the words that he used in this interchange with Peter, with Simon, here. Simon proves another thing. He didn't hear. Verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loves, that's John speaking of himself as he is recording this, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? Peter sees him and says to Jesus, Lord, what about him? What about him? Peter, what did you miss that I said? The last thing I said to you was, follow me. The last thing that I said to you was, do you love me? Focus on me. The last thing that I said to you before that was, do you love me more than these, than anyone else, more than any others? What part did you miss, Peter? Jesus says to him then in verse 22, if it is my decision that he does not die and stays alive until I return the second time, what is it to you? I paraphrase the King James Version there. But that's what Jesus is saying. And then he gives that command one more time to try to put into focus for Peter that others don't matter, that the agapeo love is what is important because it comes from the heart, not just from the head, that the feeding of the Lord's sheep was his work that he was to do, and the glorification of God would be seen in the way that he died. And he gives him that command then once again as we look in verse 22, follow me. Don't worry about others. We remember back in Isaiah the 6th chapter in verse 8 when Isaiah responds to what God said, who shall we send and who shall go forth for us? And Isaiah responds and says, here am I, send me. Isaiah's focus was upon the Lord and doing the Lord's work. Peter's focus is still on someone else. And that continues in his life for quite a period of time. We've already mentioned it. Acts the 11th chapter. Don't blame me that I went to those Gentiles. It's not my fault. Galatians the 2nd chapter, whenever Peter removed himself from meeting with the Gentiles. And then he was withstood to the face. But I will tell you something about Peter. I'm so glad that we have him for an example. I wish that I could stand before you and say, I am taking my life and trying to make it exactly and show forth exactly everything that Paul did. I wish that I could do that, but I relate more to Peter than I do Paul. I relate more to him. And I'm so thankful for him because he does get it. He does get it. 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 15 to 16, when he starts talking about the things that Paul writes, it says that in some of those things, he writes things that are hard to understand, which those, and he calls him our beloved brother Peter, after he dressed him down back in Antioch. And he says those things that are hard to understand, which some that are unlearned and unstable torture, as far as the Word of God is concerned. And so I ask you this morning, because we look at all these things, we look at this interaction, we look at the different words that are used there. We see, of course, Simon, as he is addressed here. And we have to ask ourselves this question. Do we hear and listen God's word? To listen to God's word? Do we do that? Or are we sitting in the audience? Are we nodding off? Are we thinking about where we're going to eat? We're thinking about other things. We're not really listening and hearing. You know, that's what got Peter into his situation. He wasn't listening. He didn't hear back in Matthew the 16th chapter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now savorest not the things of God, but the things that be of man. He didn't hear it. Well, it may have came into his ears, but he didn't make application to it in his heart. He didn't do that. Do we? Are we here? Are we going through the motions this morning? Are we really hearing God's word in connection with this commandment? Follow me, Jesus says. Are we doing that? Do we receive the commandment then? Love me. Do you love me? Agapeo. Do we have the true higher form of love for our Savior who gave Himself for us as a lamb without spot and without blemish? As John the Baptizer testified of Him in John the 2nd chapter in verse 29, after the baptism of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Do we really have that agapeo love because of what Jesus did for us? You see, God is love. And because of what God did with His Son and what His Son did for us, we know what love is. But do we really have it? Or are we sitting here going through the motions this morning? Can we really answer and say, yea, Lord, I agapeo you? That higher form of love. It's not just from the heart, it's from the head. It's with all my being. It's as you told the Pharisees in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. It is all of that. Or are we here because you don't want to hear another sermon about poor attendance? And so that's the reason that you're here. Is that it? Do we truly love the Lord agapeo, or is it more of an affectionate thing? I like the Lord. I don't have anything against Him. No, it has to be that agapeo thing. That agapeo love. And then as Christians, we really have the same admonition that Peter received. He said, feed. And of course, we know that the Lord knows our heart. He knows everything about us. We know that perfectly. And are we willing for the Lord to see it in us and to have that gnisko come to know because of our actions? Are we willing to say to Him, you'll come to know that I truly love you as a Christian because of the work that I perform for you? Do we recognize that the reason that we are Christians, are now Christians, is not only for our soul salvation, but also for the work that we were assigned to do in becoming a child of God, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto or for good works, that we should walk or conduct ourselves in them because they were established aforetime. That is actually going back before the foundation of the world. That we are to be workers for the Lord. We don't work to earn our salvation. We work because we are saved. And are we doing that? Because you see, if we're not, we're not really following the Lord. We're just checking a box. And not very many of them. And that work is in teaching others. Just as Peter was told to do. Bosco and Poimang. Feed, fodder, protection, and so forth. Some of it more directly in connection with our elders who do that. But with each and every one of us also, just as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the committing of the faithful words to others that they may be able to teach others also. And are we concerned about the lambs, the new converts, to start with? And we have new converts in this congregation. And is our action a light unto them that says, this is what a Christian is about? Understanding it has to be a reflection of Christ Jesus for it to be proper. But rather, as we look at it as far as our own application is concerned, are we living the life that would show the tender little ones, this is what God expects? Are we setting forth that example? And not only them, but others also. When you come to class, have you opened up your Bible before you ever made it into the building? Have you done that? Or are you hurriedly looking through your center references trying to get something to say just in case I might call on you? Is there really study that is taking place? Are you taking to heart God's Word and have such care and concern about it, recognizing that without it, you're destroyed? Hosea 6 and verse 4, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That you're so concerned about it that you're really studying God's Word, or is every question that is asked you, you're stumped because you've not studied the lesson. You've not done that. See, if you don't do that, you're really not following Jesus. You're present, your body is here, but your spirit is somewhere else. And then, whenever we are asked, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, of the hope that lies in us, when we are asked that, do we say, there He is, send Him, go to Him, ask someone else. I don't have a defense of the hope that lies within me. That's not my job as a Christian. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is each and every one of our jobs. And it's not just here at the building. And it's not just with friends that we have that are not Christians. They're included also, but it's also with family. And there are so many of us that have family that are not Christians. Do we Bosco and Poimain them, feed and protect and guide and direct through God's Word? Do we do that? You see, you thought this was about Peter and the commandment that he received two times from the Lord, follow me, but it's not. It's about us. Each and every one of us. Are we truly following the Lord? If you are not a child of God this morning, we're going to be singing a song of encouragement in just a moment that is provided for you, and hopefully there will be meditation in your mind and in your thoughts about the things that we've said here, because you see, you don't really love the Lord unless you render obedience to Him. Matter of fact, you neither agapeo Him if you're not a child of God, and neither do you phileo Him. You don't have the higher form of love if you're not obedient to His will, and you have no affection for Him whatsoever unless you obey what He says. And that obedience is by faith with a penitent attitude, where we come to the Lord ready to make that good confession of Him. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we are baptized for remission of our sins, and from that point forward, we do exactly what Jesus said, follow Me. That's what you do if you're not a child of God. If you are a child of God, I ask you really to look, and each and every one of us. You know, I don't do a lot of pointing. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, because I learned a long time ago I've got a lot of fingers pointing back at me when I do that. But I always recognize it just by preaching, that I have a lot of fingers pointed back at me. I ask you, are you following the Lord? Are you doing the work? Is it out of love, agapeo? Or is it just, I'm affectionate? Is it in your life? Won't you go ahead and get the song on up on the board, brother? Jake, go ahead and start walking this way. And we're going to ask those that we can help in any way, if you will come as we stand and sing.
Exalted, 198.